Create Art Podcast. Commentary: The Benefits of Networking. Hello, friends. This is Timothy Kimo Bryan, your head instigator of Create Art Podcast, where I use my 20-plus years of experience in the arts and education to help you tame your inner critic and create more than you consume. Now, how do I do this? Well, I provide commentary, interviews, conversations, and projects that you can use to help you in your artistic practice. Do you feel a little bit, icky when someone says networking? And I use icky in quotes. Well, maybe you think it's similar to being fake or trying to get something from somebody. Network doesn't have to be that way. You can add your own spin to networking, and you'll definitely grow as an artist. Now, no one wants to sound like a used car salesperson. And today, I'm going to talk to you about the benefits of networking to help you grow your artistic practice, and we'll look at a few articles that echo this sentiment. So let me give you a little background on me. Now, I worked for the U.S. Army for about 5 years as a transition coordinator. I also worked for the VA for 3 years and the state of Illinois for about 3 years as well, doing a similar job. And I helped close to about 1,000 veterans and transitioning service members obtain employment. Now, some of this was done during the last Great Recession back in 2008 and 2009. And what made me effective with helping these folks find employment? Networking. So you may be asking, how did I start doing that? Well, I didn't start out by going and talking to people. I started with myself. I took inventory of myself and what I brought to the table. When I knew what I could provide, then I went ahead and started learning what the pain points for others were and deciphering how I could alleviate these pain points. Now, that's when I started presenting myself to others and offering my services. There's a lot of pre-work that goes into networking. You just can't scattershot your skills, or as I used to call it, shotgunning your skills. You need to find what the other person needs before you offer solutions. Now, here's the thing. If you can't figure out what their needs are, ask them and then listen. That's really important. If you don't listen, then you're not going to be able to match your skills with what they need. Now, if your skills don't align with what they need, that's not a bad thing. The bad thing is if you promise more than you can deliver. Look into the network that you're going to develop to make a referral. The initial person is going to appreciate the fact that you didn't overstate your skills and you actually helped them resolve whatever issue they had. Now, once you've done an inventory on your skills and reached out to research what others need, then that's when you're going to develop your elevator speech. Now, I know this sounds like you're applying for a job, and in essence, you are applying for a job in that person's network, and you should take it seriously. That elevator speech needs to fit in what the person wants, if you know it. And if you don't know what they need, then it needs to be general enough to cover the main skills that you have that they may need. Now, that elevator pitch or that elevator speech shouldn't be any longer than 30 seconds. You actually have less time than that to grab their attention. You probably have, in reality, about 10 seconds to make that impression. Most people will give you 30 seconds, but that first 10 seconds, no. You're not going to get much past that. Here's the thing. Be confident. You don't want to fumble over your elevator speech because the person's going to question whether you really know what you claim to know. And this breaks the trust of who you're trying to help and the relationships you're trying to develop. Now, once you make that contact, or develop that network, you need to cultivate it. That means it's not just a one and done thing. You need to keep in touch with that person. Let's just focus on one person instead of a whole network here. What you're going to want to do is you're going to want to keep details about them. So when you reach out, it's not going to feel like a sales call. Remember, you don't want to be a used car salesperson. Unless you really do, then I don't know while you're listening to this podcast, but hey, there is art in being a used car salesperson, I am sure. Feel free to write in to me about that. Now, when you do this outreach, it's going to jog your memory. It's going to jog their memory about you. And maybe, you know, they've got a nugget of wisdom for you or a referral for you. Now, I know this sounds a lot like sales, but think about it like they're a friend. You know, I have many friends that I haven't called for months at a time. But when we do connect, that time that we didn't talk passes really quickly. Treat your network like they're your friends. And if you need to call them friends, fine, go ahead and do it. Whatever mental trick you need to do to get into this networking mindset, go ahead and do it. Now, another reason why I was so successful, even in a recession in finding jobs, is the strength of my network. You know, I was able to call someone when I had a particularly hard case and find them employment. And I taught this skill of networking to my clients. And I'm going to use quotes on that too, because, you know, these are people that I was serving. But, you know, you can look at them as clients. I looked at them as people that needed a light bulb turned on. When I taught it to my clients, after they got the job, they are able to help themselves in the future. So they're not always running back to you going, hey, Mr. Brian, how do I do this? How do I do that? How do I write a resume? And the other benefit is they're going to have intel on the companies they get jobs with. And they can be, or they were, you know, my inside source on information. They could vouch for people that they didn't know because the recommendation was coming from me. I know this is a lot about employment, but that's where I bring this networking thing from. Because it works in the artistic world. If you just expand your mind a little bit and think of ways that you could do it in your artistic practice. So, what are the benefits of networking as an artist? I know you've been waiting to hear that. We're about 7 minutes into the podcast and you're waiting to hear, hey, what's my benefit? Well, I'm going to state the obvious here. Our world is more connected than any other time in history. And those connections are getting tighter and tighter. And because our connections are easier to make, now is the time to think about developing your network. Last month, in my last episode, I discussed joining groups in your discipline. And many of the benefits that I discussed in the last episode apply to networking. You can learn a new skill. You can be provided a new opportunity to showcase your work. You can develop a mentoring relationship. And I truly believe no one knows everything about their craft. I know I'm never the smartest or most experienced person in a room, even the room you're listening to this in right now. That's right. You are the expert on your skills, abilities, and interests. But because you're listening to me right now, I'm developing my network because, hey, you know me and you trust me to put out content every so often and you share this content with others. So you are in my process of networking as you listen to the podcast. Now, because I've developed my network, if someone emails me at timothy@createartpodcast.com and asks for advice, I can reach out to those in my network of artists to provide an answer. Now, I don't know a ton about oil painting, but Heather Moon does, and she's been a guest on this show. I don't know a ton about photography or tattooing, but Ashley Hutchins does, and she's been on the show a few times. Tia Sunshine makes awesome watercolors, and I make mud. But if someone writes in and asks for advice on watercolors, I can get them over to the expert and get their issue resolved. Conversely, whenever Heather or Ashley or Tia has questions about podcasting or audio or writing or whatever I have skills in, they know they can come to me and tap for my knowledge. Networking is developing relationships that benefit both parties. Not just you. You want to look at how you can benefit the other person. So let's look at what others say about networking. Now, I like promoting other podcasts when I can. And just recently, I came across a podcast that will help you in those times when you need a pep talk. Strangely enough, the podcast is called Creative Pep Talk, and it's run by Andy J. Pizza. Now, in a recent episode, I believe it's 319, he was discussing networking and artists' aversion to the whole idea of networking. Naturally, I included the episode in the show notes and a link to it. Andy lets us know that, yes, we can contact our heroes and those that we admire in order to develop our network as artists. And the artist life can be lonely. But here's the thing. No one's going to do it for you. You could be missing out on a great opportunity. It's that self-defeating attitude that no one's going to reply. You never know unless you give it a shot. Yeah, you may hear crickets for a while, but eventually someone will reach back and inquire about your skills. You never know what you're going to get in terms of a relationship. So Andy encourages all of his listeners to go ahead and reach out to their idols and make a go of it. You know, I know when I reach out, I don't always, you know, hit a home run with that. But when folks reach out to me, I make it a point to reach back. Take the chance. Reach out. The worst that can happen is you don't get a reply. The best thing that can happen is you develop a new partnership. Now, the next article I'd like to bring your attention to is Nick Wyatt. It's done by Nick Wyatt, and he titles the article, Five Reasons Why Artists Need Connections, The Power of Networking. Now, his first reason is publicity. If you don't reach out, no one will know how to reach out to you. Seems pretty obvious, but it is so true and such a basic idea. How are people going to know what you're doing if you don't tell them? Social media is only going to go so far. Think about all the alerts you get in your social media channels telling you about other people's works. They're just, you know, doing the scattershot method or the shotgun method, and they're shooting that info out to everyone. And nobody cares because they don't know that person. But if you develop your network and you have something to share, then that will usually rise above the rest of the noise. And if it resonates with your network, they're more likely going to share it with their network. Now, his second point is it creates collaborations and a chance to be featured on other people's works. If you don't have a network, you won't have access to other people's networks. And you may be missing out on a great chance to grow your knowledge base and your audience. I love collaborating. And those in my network, or being asked questions from my network. If I can answer it, I will. If not, I look for somebody I know who has the answer. Now, just recently, I was asked by York Campbell of the Poetic Earthlings podcast to do some voiceover work. And then he also led me over to another podcast. And I did some voiceover work for them that he's producing. So I wouldn't have never had that opportunity. I love listening to Poetic Earthlings, but I would never have had that opportunity if I hadn't developed a relationship with York. Now, if you don't have a network, you don't have information sharing, and you don't have growth. His third point is mentorship. If you can add somebody to your network that's at a higher level than you are, you have a chance to develop a mentor relationship and avoid many of the pitfalls that the mentor has already circumnavigated. You can get honest feedback about your work and how to improve it. Just make sure you're providing that mentor with feedback on their work as well. You may not think that you have much to offer, but in reality, your feedback is essential for their growth. Maybe your mistakes are something that they have not encountered, and they can reach into their network and find a solution for the both of you. His fourth point is record deals, investors, and financing. Now, you may not be a musician or anything like that, but you may need, you know, some capital to get your ideas off the ground. And if you haven't developed the network, where do you go to get the money to see your idea blossom? For this point, you may need to extend your network to funding sources instead of artistic sources. You know, people are more willing to donate money to those they know and who have a proven track record than just a random person asking for money. Your financial network may have ideas or connections that you don't have access to. Even if they can't financially support your idea at the time, they probably have somebody they can refer you to, and they'd feel more comfortable making the call versus, you know, risking their relationship on somebody they don't know. His last point of networking is it can provide live performances and tours. Now, you may not have a thing where you're doing a live performance, but your network could be the way to venues for your art. And if you take it on the road, it's much simpler to have a list of venues that are going to be interested in your work versus cold calling people and hearing no multiple times. Your network can help you stave off that imposter syndrome that we've heard so much about, because utilizing the network will get you more yeses than nos and will improve your confidence level. The last article I want to bring your attention to is in Format Magazine, and it's an article titled Totally Easy Networking Tips for Artists and Creators. Now, much of this article echoes what I've already said, but let's look at it and let's look into it a little bit. You know, one of the first points they bring up is talking to everyone. Yeah, everyone, from your barista to the person who rings up your groceries. Don't just network with other artists in your field or discipline. Network with everyone who may benefit you. Case in point, my nephew is a barista at Katora Coffee Shop here in Fredericksburg. He became friends with a guy who works at the local library, and before the pandemic hit, they were, you know, looking to open a place called the Idea Place, where people can come in and record podcasts, music, or do videos, learn how to do a 3D printer, a ton of things they can do at this place. When they did open up, I chatted with the guy and let him know what I was doing. He liked my ideas, and now I have an inn in the space where I can come in anytime and record without an appointment if the space is free. I would have never known about the space unless I had a network. Another point in the article is creating an online portfolio, so it's easier for people to find you. You know, when we get back to more normal times, there'll be networking opportunities. And wouldn't it be nice, when talking with somebody at these events, to be able to share your network with them by sending them to a website that they can visit on their phone, or after the event? You can even set up something free for them to have from the site, like an image or a song or whatever it is, something they can take back home and review outside of the event so that way they can remember you. The last point I want to bring up is networking over social media. Now, whether it's the bane of your existence or you love social media more than life, we need to acknowledge its impact. So why not use it for our advantage? Follow people you respect and admire. Comment on their posts. Start up conversations in groups about your discipline. Again, you never know where that next relationship will start and where it will take you. You have to take the initiative to grow your network and make it work for you. I can't do it for you, and no one else is going to. I'd like to thank you for listening to today's episode on the benefits of networking for your artistic practice. Now, I hope it alleviated the trepidation that you may have had and given you some ideas to network with others out in and outside of your discipline. Now, networking doesn't have to feel icky, so long as it's approached as being mutually beneficial to both parties. So go out there and network with somebody right now. Hey, you can start with me. Email me at timothy@koreanartpodcast.com, and let's see where the relationship takes us. Now, if you got something out of this episode, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and share it with a friend. That is also a great way to begin networking in your circle. If you're sharing things with your friends and your circle that you already have right now, they're going to look to you for more information, for more ideas, and for more advice. I'll talk with you again soon. Now go out there and create more than you consume, and go create some art for somebody you love, yourself.